Welcome to the Lifehouse Church podcast. More information about Lifehouse and our senior pastors, Richard and Helen Kabakian, can be found at lifehouse.com.au. We hope you enjoy the following message.
This topic is going to really bless you today, and I know that you're going to learn a lot. Hey, there's a guy called John Gottman, and he wrote a book called The Seven Principles for Making Marriage Work, and it's a bestseller, and if you get the time, why don't you look that book up and invest in it and read it yourself. But he wrote this book by studying couples in a simulated home environment called the Love Lab, right? Did you like that? And in this lab, he watched and he listened to conversations that a couple would have who were mic'd up, there were cameras everywhere, and they would just live out their ordinary everyday lives for 3 days straight, and he would study them. And from that, he was able to predict with 98% accuracy, wait for it, 100 people went through this process, and he was able to predict who would stay together or who would divorce within a 7-year period. Can you believe that? Simply by looking at one major factor. And by looking at this one factor, he was able to determine who would stay together and who would divorce. Now, it was also this same factor that is also responsible for meaningful intimacy in the bedroom and makes marriages and relationships more satisfying and lasting more than any other trait. That's what he writes in his book. And what was this one factor? It was happy marriages are built on deep friendship. Everyone say friendship. Exactly right, my friends. You know, there was another study that was done on marriage asking 351 couples who were married 15 years or longer to list the top reasons for their marital success. What did they discover? Even though the couples answered independently of each other, the wives and husbands produced almost identical lists. Wait for it. Not surprisingly, the number one reason that was given for their success was their spouse was also their friend. There it is, my friends. So today we're going to be speaking a little bit about this, and we're going to delve deep. So I want you to brace yourself. When we say friend, what do we mean? Well, the Merriam-Webster Dictionary defines friend or friendship as a person whom you like and enjoy being with. How's that for a simple definition? Someone that you like and you enjoy being with them. Now, so today I just want to unpack what it is to have a friendship with your spouse. And we're gonna talk about how we can build that friendship. Or maybe if you feel like you don't have a friendship right now within your relationship, how we can actually begin to build a friendship within your relationship. Now, if you've heard any relationship series at Lifehouse, you've heard this statement over and over again because it's an important one. Friendship is the highest form of relationship. I'm going to say that again. Friendship is the highest form of relationship. Why is that? Because you don't get to choose your parents. You don't get to choose your in-laws. You don't get to choose your siblings, but you do get to choose your friends. So the people that you are friends with right now, you are friends with them because you choose to be in a friendship with them. And friends, therefore, it makes it a relationship of choice, okay? There's nothing about it that is forced. So you're friends with some people today because you choose to be friends with them. It's the highest compliment when you can point to somebody and say, hey, I want you to meet such and such. This person is my best friend. When someone says that to me, I'm like, wow, this person plays a very important part in your life because you're choosing to be in relationship with them. You know, in the Bible, it often tells us that the highest compliment that God gives to a person in the Bible is actually not the position of son or daughter, which we would think, wow, that's got to be the most important. Now, we all understand it's a very important relationship to have with God the Father, that you are his son or daughter. But, you know, there are some characters in the Bible that you know God really, really loved these people. And more than loved, he liked them. And one of those people was Abraham. The Bible says that Abraham was a friend of God. Why does the Bible take time to tell us that Abraham was a friend of God? Because what it's saying is God just didn't love him because he was his creation. He actually liked him. He enjoyed being with him. There were attributes of Abraham's life that God just enjoyed being around Abraham. It tells us the same thing about Moses, that God would speak to Moses as a friend speaks to his friend face to face. And we know with Jesus, he was discipling these 12 men. And there came a time when Jesus says, now I no longer call you servants or disciples or students. He says, now I call you friends. Friends, it's such an important relationship to continue to build. You know, I've got a great relationship with my wife and we've been married over 28 years now. And you know, I would say we have a happy marriage, but you know, more than that, more than me saying I've got a great wife and she's the best wife, and that's a wonderful thing to say about your partner. But I think it's even better when you can say, that girl there is my friend. And my desire is that by the end of this message, we can look at each other and see each other as friends. So here's a statement for you. Friends, the goal isn't in a relationship isn't to have a great marriage. I'm going to say that again. The goal is not to have a great marriage. The goal is to have a great friendship. Why do I say that's the goal? Because when I just say, do you have a great marriage? That's so vague. It's so ambiguous. It's so subjective. And we don't, I know lots of people that are trying to build a great marriage, but don't seem to get there. Why don't we flip it around and say, hey, listen, build a great friendship. And when you build a great friendship, it automatically builds a great marriage. You know, let's stop thinking of our partners, our husband, our wife. Let's stop thinking of them as someone that we are contracted to. You know, that's my wife. That's the person that I went to the altar and we made some vows, and that's who that person is in my life. I mean, that's who they are. I mean, I know that that's factual and that's who they actually are in your life. But friends, do you know that doesn't actually help build anything? Rather, let's never stop seeing the person that we are married to or that we are engaged with. Let's never stop seeing them as our friend. Never, never swap from friendship to that is now my husband and lose the friendship somehow. Don't ever go down that road, friend. Remain friends forever, and it automatically builds a great relationship. Come on, give someone a high five or do something. That's exciting, because now we know what we need to do in order to be those couples that actually last the distance but actually enjoy our marriages and relationships as well. You know, when Helen and I got married, we'd actually only known each other, wait for it, for 9 months. From the time we met to the time that we were married, 9 months. That's not a long time to actually get to know each other and build a solid friendship. But we did know that we were called by God, and there obviously was elements of friendship there. But you know, we were in Melbourne and we were so busy doing a whole lot of things in our church and working hard and trying to build a life together. And then eventually we actually went to Queensland to work on behalf of our church. And when we got there, we were completely isolated. And it was only us and one other couple. And then eventually this other couple left and came back to Melbourne. And so we were left by ourselves in Mackay, Queensland, far north Queensland. And I've got to tell you, there was no one there but us. We didn't know anybody. And you know, I remember one day I just looked up at Helen and I said, you know what? I really like you. And she knew exactly what I meant, because, you know, although we were married, what I was actually saying to her was, you're actually a great person. I actually like you as a friend. And she repeated those words back to me. And you know, that was a game changer for us, because we went from being a married couple, wait for it, to becoming best friends. Now you would think, wow, usually it happens the other way around. Yeah, I know. Listen, it doesn't matter how it happens, but what we all need to aim for, friends, is that we would be friends with our partners, our spouses, our fiance, whoever it may be that is really special in our lives. Do you know, during this time of ISO, many, many families obviously are isolated, couples are isolated, you can't spend time with all your friends. I wonder if God could use this time for you to actually build a friendship with this person that you've been married to for so many years, but maybe we've lost some elements. So here it is, guys. So I'm going to get highly practical with you now. I am telling you that from the results, from the statistics, from the experiments that have been conducted, friendship within a relationship is the thing that brings the most success for us to stay together and really enjoy this process. So here's the secret. What do normal friends do? What do you do with your, if you're a female, with your other girlfriends, for guy, if you've got some guy friends, what do you do in friendship in a normal scenario that we now need to really on purpose bring into our relationships so that we can remain friends and continue to build our friendship? Well, number one is this. And if you've got a pen and paper, I think today's going to be the day you're going to want to take some notes and make sure you do your homework, okay? Number one is friends enjoy doing things together. Think about some of your guy friends, guys and ladies. Think about some of your girlfriends. Do you enjoy doing things together? Well, as a couple, you've got to continue to do things together. Now, that might not sound like rocket science to you, but you'd be shocked how many couples don't spend any time together outside of the home duties and raising kids and chores and doing all those mundane things. No. Come on, we've got to do the things that we do with our friends. Now, here's a statement for you. You don't have to have shared interests, but you have to show interest because it's an incredible part of, it's a very incredibly important part of a friendship. You know, there's a couple of girls that I know that are part of our church and fun-loving girls. They're great. They've got a lot of life in them. But I would, you know, the way I see them is that they're sort of glamour girls. You know, they like to look after themselves. You never see a hair out of place. And yet their husbands love to go camping. And so these girls go camping with these men and they do it rough and there's no toilets and there's no showers and they're out there in the bush. And I just recently, I said to one of these girls, I said, so you go camping with your husband? She goes, yeah. And I said, I just don't imagine that's something that you're into. And she says, I'm not into camping. I'm just into him. I went, oh, right. Yeah, so she's not, I mean, she it's not that she hates it or anything, but she's not a camper. She doesn't go to Raise Outdoors and just walk through the shelving and start picking out things that she wants for her own personal life. But no, her husband's into camping. She's into her husband. So she goes camping. And do you know how much her husband loves that? He thinks that she is the best wife ever because she roughs it once in a while and she just does things that he likes. I was talking to a guy recently who told me that he took his wife to London and he said he went through Buckingham Palace and he was walking through Buckingham Palace. And I said, I don't picture you a guy that would enjoy walking around through Buckingham Palace. He said, look, I'm not really into the Queen, but I'm into my Queen. I went, ooh, I like that. What's he saying? Yeah, look, it's not really what I like, but my wife likes it. So I'm going to do what she enjoys. Come on, somebody. I wonder what you could do that would show interest in your partner's life. Listen, you may not love it. You may not like it, but you like them. And so you do it with them. You know, we went on an America trip and we were in Universal Studios and all of a sudden, a couple that go to our church were there. And we're like, what are you doing here? And sheepishly, they sort of ummed and ahed for a moment. And then his wife just came out with it. She said, we are here to go to Orlando eventually because we are going to the Harry Potter world. I said, Harry Potter? Who's into Harry Potter? And she said, he is. And he was like, yeah, I am. And apparently this guy's a real Harry Potter nerd and he loves it. And I said, so you've come all the way from Australia to go to Harry Potter world? And she's like, yep. And you know what? It's going to be awesome. And I thought, what a great woman. I said, are you into the Harry Potter? What I actually said was, do you like Harry Potter? She said, I don't really like Harry Potter, but once again, I like him. Hey, some of your men, they like going fishing and you're like, fishing, please. But I wonder how much it would mean to him if you just said, hun, I'm going out with you and I want to see if I can catch a fish. You may actually enjoy it, but you'll have a laugh. You'll have some shared memories. You might fall over, fall into the ocean, and then he's got to rescue you. I don't know what would happen, but wouldn't it just be great to build a friendship? Come on, somebody. We all know that we can do a little bit better with this. You know, we're going to learn to have fun together. Don't stop having fun. Have fun, guys. Relationships are supposed to be fun. Have a laugh. Just recently, I came home. I grabbed a takeaway coffee for myself, and I brought it home. And the first sip I went to take, I went to have a sip, and the coffee just went straight down my top. And it was just a brand new top that I was just wearing for the first time. And Helen just laughed, and she said, "Wait for it." She said, "You're like a small boy," which, you know, nobody wants to hear those words. And I was like, "Well, no, it's because of Lydon, you know." And she's like, and she was laughing at me. Well, anyway, she tries to do the right thing because I put it on the edge of the bench. And so she goes to grab my coffee that I had spilt a little on my top. She goes to pick it up and she drops it and it goes everywhere. It goes all over the bench, all over her phone. She destroyed the joint, okay? And I tell you what, we just laughed and laughed and laughed with each other. We laughed at each other. Friends, that's what people need to keep doing if we're going to do this for the long haul. We've got to laugh at each other. We've got to have some fun. And someone needs to say, amen, I agree. I want Helen and I to be friends who are married. Did you get that? We want to be friends, but we just happen to be married. Number two, friends with the opposite sex can quickly turn into a romance. Isn't that true? When you have a friendship with someone of the opposite sex, it can easily turn into something that you want it to become a whole lot more than just a friendship, right? Well, you know, it's really important for us to understand that for most of us, we became friends with our spouse, our partner, whoever they are. And then from there, we went, I think I like you a bit more than just a friend, right? But we became a friend, and then it got romantic. Why would we then change that? If that's what made your spouse fall in love with you was the fact that you were friends and having some fun, why would you then turn into their parent? Boom. Yeah, I just said it. Why would you become their mum? I don't think anyone imagines that they would want to be romantically intimate with their parent. So why would you become her dad? Why wouldn't you remain her friend? Why would you all of a sudden become her dad and start telling her off about things and start becoming the teacher around the house? You know, no, people fell in love with us because we were friends first, and then, so why would you become their school teacher? Why would you become their judge? Why would you become the WHS officer, the work health and safety? Why would you become that person? Remain friends. Don't move away from being a friend, because that's the sexiest thing you could be for your partner. Again, someone needs to say amen, because I just think this stuff is so important. Number three, friends are honest with each other. Come on, when you think about some of the friendships you've got right now, guys, when you're sitting around that campfire, when you're sitting around that car, someone's working on the car, there's not a lot of room for non-truth. I was going to use a different word there, but there's not a lot of room for lying. There's like, come on, you got to be honest. People will tell you the truth. If you're being full of yourself, people will tell you the truth. Why wouldn't we bring that into our relationships? Why would we start not being honest with our partner once we're married? No, let's keep being honest. Don't be afraid of your partner. You're not afraid of your best friend. If your friend's about to make a really bad decision, you'll tell them straight to their face, "I wouldn't do that, mate. There's not a chance. I wouldn't invest there. Why would you hang out with him? Why would you go with her?" We're honest with our friends. Why do we stop being honest with our partners? No, continue the honesty. Jesus, when Peter comes up to him and says, "Jesus, you're not going to Jerusalem," Jesus says to his best friend, Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You're not thinking of the things of God." Come on, we need to keep that within our relationships. Helen is really honest with me, and she will have confronting conversations because that's what friends do. She's not doing it as my wife, she's doing it as my friend. If I'm doing stuff that's hurting people, if I'm letting people down, as a friend, she says to me, "I wouldn't do that if I was you." And I appreciate that about her. You know, in our early days, you know, Helen can be straight to the point. You know, she comes from Sydney, and Helen's got that CEO nature about her. And some people were doing some things in our church at the time, And she just confronted it, you know, as she probably should have, but the way it was done probably wasn't the Melburnian way, okay? We had a few ethnics, a few ethnic men in our church at the time, and it just needed to be handled a lot more gentle. And I remember I had to have an honest conversation with her, which I know was tough for her, but she grew out of that and she has continued to grow and she's becoming a more and more amazing pastor, woman of God. But I had to be honest with her. Hey, don't stop being honest. Let's continue to be honest. This is what Proverbs 27:6 says. It says, wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. Have you ever met couples? And you can see some of them, one or the other, or if not both, have got some sort of trait going on that you know is hurting people, behaviors that are hurting people. And you think, I wonder, why doesn't their wife pull them up? Why doesn't her husband say something about that? And we can all see that it's really hurting their friendships outside of themselves. It may even be hurting their own relationship. And we all think, why doesn't someone say something between the two of them? Because they're not behaving like friends. And so let me encourage you, maintain the friendship, be honest. Proverbs 27 verse 9 says, the heartfelt counsel of a friend is as sweet as perfume and incense. It's like Givenchy aftershave. Be honest with them. Number four, and this is a really fun one, okay? Because that last one was a bit tough, okay? So let's just move right along. Number four, friends dream together. Come on, isn't that what you do with your friends? I was just with a friend recently and he's like, you know what, Rich? I think I'm gonna buy a house in Queensland. And I was like devastated. No, you're leaving. No. He goes, I'm not leaving. It's just like a holiday house. And it's gonna be awesome. And you're gonna come up and that family that we're also friends with, they're gonna come up and we're gonna spend time together. And what are we doing? We're dreaming. Now, has he bought the house yet? No. Did I sit there and go, oh, as if you're going to buy a house. No, I'm like, yeah, that would be awesome, wouldn't it? It'd be great. And then he goes, oh, then we can do this and we can do that. Friends dream together. When was the last time you actually dreamed with your partner? When was the last time you even asked them what their dream is? How about questions like this? What do you dream about, hon? What are you thinking about? What would you like your life to look like in 5 years time? What are the top three things on your bucket list? Come on, right now, just turn to them and say, hey, what do you dream about? Now, before they answer, you just say, hey, we'll talk about it after the church service because Pastor Richard's preaching. But what a wonderful thing to do. Instead of just complaining about COVID and everything else that we could be talking about, hun, what are you dreaming about? What would you like your life to look like in 5, 10 years? Where would you love to live ultimately, ideally? What's your favorite holiday destination? Dream together. And once they've dreamed with you, number five kicks in, embrace each other's dream. Help each other fulfill the dream that is in their heart. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 verse 9 says, two people are better than one. Why? It even tells you why. For they can help each other succeed. Two are better than one. So it's talking about marriage, talking about relationship now. Two are better than one. Why? One of the major reasons why is because they can help each other succeed. So here's the question. Are you trying to help each other succeed, or is marriage all about you? Within this thing called marriage, or should I say friendship, is it all about you and your dream, or are you actually looking out for your partner's dream? You know, recently, obviously, you would know that I've just written this book, and I've got to tell you, the biggest supporter of this book has been Helen, because I just keep putting it on the back burner. I'm very busy. I'm trying to pastor a church, and she's like, hun, come on, what about your book? You've really got to get your book out there. It would help a lot of people. And you know, I've got to give a lot of credit to my wife. Right now, publicly, I just need to say she's awesome. She has really helped me, and I tell you what, getting the book out there was just the beginning. All the back end, all the sales, sending these things out there, it's all her. And I just want to thank God for a wife who is helping, because I'm not very admin oriented and it bores me to tears and it frustrates me. But she loves that stuff and she knows my heart and she knows my dream and she's really just helping me. And I just think that's awesome. And I know that many of you do that for each other as well, okay? And I just want to encourage you, come on, embrace each other's dream. I know that for Helen, she'd like to be a worldwide preacher. And so in my heart, about, you know, maybe 6 or 7 years ago, I thought, Lord, help me to promote my wife so that she can use her gift worldwide. Well, some of you know we have a church in Poland and there's major conferences there going on and in Germany as well. And, you know, we're getting asked to preach, but the person that they want to preach the most is actually not me. They want Helen to preach. And the reason why is because they love the fact that she's a woman of God, and they don't really see a lot of women actually active in ministry and preaching the word. And me knowing that, I don't get offended, and there's no jealousy and there's no competition. I'm like, yes, they want my wife to preach. And so I'm trying to help her with messages if she would like the help. And I just want to see her fulfill her destiny because that's her dream and that's what she wants to do. She wants to have an impact on the world. Come on, guys, get behind your partner's dream. The last thing our partners need is dream killers. Oh, yeah, as if, aren't there enough of those sort of things happening already? Oh, as if they need another one of those. Do you think you've got the skill for that? Oh, didn't someone else try that and fail? Come on, friends, let's not be that person in the friendship or the relationship. Let's help them move forward. Imagine for a moment, if every day you woke up thinking, now, what is it again that my partner is trying to achieve? Because I want to help them achieve that even today. Even today, I want to just inch that forward. Isn't that better than two people waking up in their bed thinking, what's my dream and how am I going to make it happen? Okay, there's an aspect of that. But isn't that better to wake up every day saying, what's her dream? And she says, what's his dream? I want to help them fulfill it today. Can you see how that just builds an awesome marriage? They're the power couples. They're the ones that are achieving things because it's not all about them and selfishness. And the reason why you have to think this way, friends, is because sometimes it gets really tough. In order to fulfill your dream, there's a lot of sacrifices that need to take place. You know, Jesus said this in John 10:10. He says, the thief's purpose is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Now, wait for it. He says, my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. What's Jesus trying to bring into our world? A rich and satisfying life. Is that your purpose in your relationship? To give your partner a rich and satisfying life? Is that your purpose? Or are you trying to give yourself a rich and satisfying life? Come on, somebody. I know that it's probably a bit tough, that one. But come on, let's choose to look out for our partner. You know, the reason why this often doesn't happen is because you may have to look after the kids while she's studying. Or you may have to get a second job to help your partner fulfill their study time. You know, you may need to take some more ownership around the house and do a bit more cleaning so that your partner can get things done. Come on, these are the power couples. And last but not least, this is what friends do for each other. Friends cherish each other. And in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 28 to 29, can I just slow this down a little because this is a really, really important one. It says, so husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife, you actually love yourself. I like that. For no one has ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it just as the Lord does the church. What's it basically saying to us? Friend, you need to cherish and nourish your relationship. Now, I like this word cherish. You know, I've never really looked it up before. But this is what it actually means. It means to hold dear, feel or show affection for, but I love the second part, to entertain or harbor in the mind deeply and resolutely. So to cherish someone isn't to just do something nice for them, it's to think something nice about them. Did you hear that? To cherish is that you're constantly thinking nice things about them. Do you know, Jeremiah 29 verse 11 says this. This is God speaking about you and me. For I know the thoughts, the Bible says, that I think toward you, says the Lord. They're thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. God is constantly thinking good thoughts about us. And friend, can I tell you right now, if you want to build a friendship with your partner, we need to be people that are disciplined in constantly thinking good thoughts about them. Now, I know that there are negatives going on everywhere. But these types of people that are building friendships, they choose to drown out the negatives with the positives. In other words, we all know that there's negative things going on in their life and in some traits that they have and behaviors. But instead of thinking about that, we choose to think of all the good things. And there are so many. Don't try and tell me there aren't. There are so many good things going on that they do, that they say, that they do for you. They're just some little characteristics that you just adore and you cherish. But the enemy wants us thinking about the negatives when there are so many positives. You know, come on, we've got friends. We've got friends that we would go, gee, they're always late. Now, that's true. But the truth is that when they finally do get to that party or whatever it is, they are the life of the party, and that's why we are their friend. Now, we're still friends with those people because we don't think about how late they are all the time. We think about how much they are the life of the party. Then there are some other people who, you know, maybe they're not so generous and for whatever reason. But you know what? When you tell them that you've got some issues going on in your life, they're always giving you their ear. They'll give you great advice. They'll give you all the time of the day to be able to hear you out. And that's why we love them. What am I saying? Even in our normal friendships, there's the good and the bad. If we focus on the bad, you won't be friends with those people. And there are some friends that you're not friends with because you've done that. But then there are other friends where you go, look, I can see some negatives about them, about their lives, but I choose to ignore that. I see the positives in them. Friends, we've got to do that in relationships. We've got to do that in our marriages where we're just constantly thinking of the good things that they are and the good things that they do. Come on, think back to how you met. Think back to something nice that he or she did for you. Constantly think about the positives of their lives. Now, as we begin to do this, I'm telling you, you're going to start to assume the best about them and not the worst. Amen? Friends, let me end by saying this to you. And this is a truth that we all know to be true. Gravity, age, and KFC is going to have its way into your partner's life. Maybe not KFC, it could be Macca's, it could be whatever. And what am I saying to you? Friends, their looks are going to fade. Their bodies might go in the wrong direction, and ultimately, we all change. But let me tell you something that never changes, a friendship. And what do I mean by that? Everything else can fade away, but our friendship in our relationships can continue to grow and grow and grow until the day we are not even on the earth anymore. And I want to tell you right now, I've seen guys, girls who only date people, marry people for their looks. And when it fades, there's nothing left. There's nothing there. There never was anything there. Or they maybe let it go. But come on, let's make a decision that our relationships are not simply based on those things that can change. We're going to build them on friendship. Amen? Build it on friendship because that will stay forever. No matter what happens, we can always be friends with our partner. And why is that important to understand? Because friends, that's what God does with us. There's a day that I can't serve God anymore. I'm not much use to him in my speaking gift or whatever I might do. But Jesus would say to me, but Richard, that's not what I've really wanted above all else. All I've ever wanted with you, Richard, is a relationship with you. Friends, we know that. Jesus didn't die so that we can just do stuff for him. No, he wants to build a friendship. So our relationship with God is built on friendship. Why wouldn't our relationships, our marriages be built on friendship?
Hi, I'm Richard Gabakian, pastor of Lifehouse Church. Just wanted to say thank you for listening to this message, and I hope and pray that you feel that it's added value to your life. My greatest desire is to see people develop a personal relationship with Jesus, which can begin by praying a very simple prayer. I'm going to pray that prayer right now, and if you'd like to begin that relationship, you can just repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I choose you as my only hope of being forgiven. Please come into my life and let me begin a relationship with you that will last for all eternity. If you've prayed that prayer, we would love to know about it and celebrate your fantastic decision. You can do that by sending an email to mydecision@lifehouse.com.au. We look forward to hearing from you.